You're listening to the New Hope Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about New Hope, including our service times and events, please visit newhopebc.org. Today's message comes from Senior Pastor Reese Denner.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, and in the same time frame as usual, we're moving on now from that to a shorter message, as it were, on Romans chapter 6, next week chapter 7, and then the great 8. So let's read the scriptures together. You might still be thinking about what I just said there. That might be radical or new to you. You might be saying, amen, pastor, about time somebody said something about that. There'll be different emotions on that one. But let's just remind ourselves now who we are in Christ. This message is called Counting Yourself. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That really summarizes this passage up. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, so as a result of that fact, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. This is the language of sacrifice. Don't offer yourself as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under what, everybody? Grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching. Obey it from your heart that has now claimed your, and this is a word used for the first time in Romans, claimed your allegiance. Isn't that an interesting word to hear about our faith, that there's a sense in which we give our allegiance to God? We give him our worship, we give him our allegiance. Verse 18, for you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. It's interesting for Paul to say that, because of your limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. Can I just say this, friends? Sin is addictive. One sin leads to another. If you think, well, I'll do it just this once, you're probably going to do it twice. Sin has that kind of compounding effect. The more you sin, the more you sin. Slaves to impurity, ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? I want to pause there and say, sometimes I've heard Christians say, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I would. It's like, if I wasn't a Christian, I would sin. It's like, really? You want to think like that? Was sin so good to you? Was sin so kind to you? Did you not reap the pain of sin? Is that not why you turned to Christ? Because sin was a terrible master? Those things result in death, Paul says. But now you've been set free, everyone set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is what? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. With great volume, can all the people say, amen. Let's give God praise for his word, everyone. This is who we are. So Romans 5, 6, and 7 are especially about the identity of the Christian. Would you agree with me that one of the issues of our time is our identity? How helpful it is to know who you are. Because if something changes around you, in your family, in your business, if pressure comes upon you to do something different to your identity, what a blessing it is to know who you are. It may be painful to stand and to remain who you are in Christ, but it doesn't really matter so much what's going on around you. The important thing is who you are in Jesus Christ. I just want to pause and praise God for our students. It was lovely to see Wednesday night, the great energy, the basketball's fantastic, and then they come in for worship. Pastor Mike always gives a great word. Our adultish ministry, we praise God for you. I know some have already gone away they're still away at university, but I look at you scattered around the congregation here. I praise God for you because you know what I'm seeing in our students, in our adultish ministry that's probably growing the best that I've seen in my time, the last 18 years. Would you say, Pastor Al, as well? Praise God for that. What I love is that you've been through so much. You endured a lockdown, and young people in particular were driven pretty crazy by the whole Zoom thing and classroom stuff, and it was hard to maintain ministry during that time. But I praise God that even though Satan was pounding with his propaganda in just about every home in America and across the world, I praise God that you know who you are and you're standing firm. And I praise God that you know that you are His, that you belong to Christ, that you're alive in God and you're dead to sin. Can we give encouragement and praise to our younger people who gathered here today? And we see your leadership. We see that you're not just hanging in there, but you're leading and you're pressing forward and you're growing. We're so proud of each and every one of you. Can I also say this as well? Because you know who you are, you will be able to identify those who need to be rescued. You will identify those who've got a pseudo-identity, a false identity, and you will be able to help them and point them to Jesus because we want to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. There's one part of our mission statement that we sometimes say, but we haven't said it for a while. Maybe we could do that at the end of the service in a couple of weeks' time. But the spiritual landscape, I want to phrase it this way, the spiritual landscape changes when Christian people know who we are and share the story. Can I try and say that again? The spiritual landscape changes when Christian people know who we are and we share our story. Isn't that what it's all about as we invite people into a relationship with Jesus? As we gather to the church at New Hope, we're praying that our spiritual landscape will be different. So, well, Pastor, who am I? Put me out of my misery. Tell me who I am. Well, the first thing is count yourself alive, verse 11. You've probably heard that before, but because Christ has been raised from the dead, so the Christian is also raised to life as well. Well, that's a good start to say that we are made alive. We are physically, right now, literally, either alive or dead. Those are actual scientific categories, by the way. Did you know that? This is good science right now. Right now, in the room, you're either alive or dead. Say yes, Reese, if you agree with me. Oh, we got some great scientists in the room right now. But last week, a Brazilian woman brought her uncle into a bank to get him to sign his will over to her. The only problem is he was dead. But she tried to pull it off nonetheless. Give me a wave if you've heard this story. A number of people at the South heard it as well. Yeah, a lot of people heard it. So you know I'm not, this is a true story reported across the global news. So she goes in and she gets hold of his hand. He's dead. She gets hold of his hand, puts a pen in his hand. She's trying to get him to sign. With her other hand, she's trying to prop up his head because his head kept lolling over because, of course, he was dead. And so she kept trying to do this till eventually they arrested her. And so there's an actual scientific category. Sorry for the rather morbid tale there, but it's quite vivid, isn't it? But spiritually, the same is true. Physically, we're either alive or dead, but spiritually, we're either alive or dead. The Lord himself knows as his eyes search across the room, search into our balcony, which is going to fill up and fill up, amen. As the Lord's eyes search across this community and through this state, through this nation and world, he knows those who are his, he knows those who are alive and those who are dead. If you genuinely know Christ, if you sincerely know Christ, can I encourage you? You are alive in Jesus Christ. In fact, congregation, I know this is the third service. I know you all have been in Bible study and everything, but can we have some enthusiasm for the fact that Jesus has made us alive? Would you give him praise? So you're alive. Secondly, we've got to therefore count out all the dead stuff. Count out the dead stuff. Say that with me, everyone. Count out the dead stuff. Now, we don't watch as much boxing on TV as we used to watch because, you know, there was a time when boxing was on the TV all the time, both sides of the Atlantic. We would have boxing. You'd have boxing. It used to be Wednesday night in the UK. And so we got to know who some of the famous boxers were. And so in our leadership team the other day, I thought, well, let's just have a bit of fun. And I thought I'd ask the guys, like, who's your favorite boxer? But I gave the alternative. You can choose your favorite boxer or wrestler, because Pastor Zeke is a huge fan of 1980s wrestling. Did you know that about him? Y'all could have a lot of fun with that if you want to. So I went through the guys, and you can imagine some of the predictable replies from Pastor Al, because he met him, of course. Pastor Al loved Muhammad Ali. And many of us actually said Ali as well. Floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Do you know who Zeke went for? And sort of respond to me if you know who this is. He loves Ric Flair. There you go, as well. So anyway, but in wrestling or in boxing, you know that when someone gets knocked down, the referee comes in, and they say it in a certain, I don't know if they train them to say it that way, but there was like, one, two. They've got a special way of saying that. Anyway, what we're going to do right now is count out the dead stuff. Amen? We're going to count out the dead stuff. Here it is, first of all. Do not let sin reign in you. One. Now, the thing is with not letting sin reign in your life, it is one thing. It's like sin is like a general category. But you also know with the general category of sin, there are also the sins that you and I commit. And let's be honest about it, it's more than one. Would you agree with me on that one? It's more than one. I know that you're very spiritual people, but I know that you've committed more than one sin. In fact, some would argue that each one of us has probably broken most of the commandments of God, even just in heart, even just in fashion or whatever. And so there's a number of sins we need to count out. Here's the other thing you might find, Brother Michael, there were sins you might have struggled with 50 years ago, but that's not your biggest temptation today. There are new sins that can come along as well. He's pointing it to his wife, Karen. It's Karen that has that problem as well. So, but you may have noticed that you've got some victory in some areas of your life, but then there will be new temptations that come along. Or maybe you're still struggling with those first sins. And I want to encourage you, brother or sister, if you're struggling through those sins, you don't want to sin, don't give up on that. God will give you the power and grace to grow and mature. We're being transformed increasingly into his likeness, but we've got to make sure we count out that sin. And don't be afraid to call it sin. The world tries to say sin. How do you say sin? But we believe there is such a category. That's the thing that kills us. That's the thing that ruins us. Jesus makes us alive. So because Jesus has made us alive, we're counting out the bad stuff. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Sin is no longer the dominant part of you. It may sneak in as an imposter from time to time, but it's not the king of your life. This verse means, as I've studied it profoundly, don't sin. Count out sin out of your life. But notice also that word or that phrase, mortal body. Those two words, mortal body. That tells us something about how we sin. It's through the parts of our body that sin comes in, whether it's through our eyes or any other part of the body. Any part of your body can either be used to the glory of God or to sin. Count it out. Here's the second thing to be counted out. One, two, do not offer yourselves to wickedness. Verse 13. This is the language of sacrifice and offering. Don't offer yourself to wrong. Don't offer yourself to wickedness. When you sin, you're in effect saying, here you go. My body is now being used for wickedness. Instead, the Christian says, here it is, Lord. Romans 12 says that we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We'll come to that when we get to Romans 12. We're going to do a series called Civilization. If God spares us that long, Civilization Reborn. We offer ourselves to God in service. We use our gifts. Everyone say gifts. We bring our tithes and our offerings faithfully. We sing. Men and women, boys and girls, we sing to the Lord. We praise. We serve. And so we offer ourselves to God, but we have to be very careful not to offer ourselves to wickedness, because we've counted that out. It was counted out on the cross. Now, this thing about mortal body, it's amazing how a human body can so easily be deceived, tempted, recruited, corrupted. And sometimes our mortal bodies, we're reminded that we get kind of habitually drawn into something that clashes with our true identity of Christ, in Christ. And what the devil wants to do is to keep you in that pattern of failure for so long that you will give up. Isn't that right? I got to tell you, don't give up. Don't offer it to wickedness, but we're going to see that there's an alternative. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin. Count it out as an instrument of wickedness. Count it out, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself. Do this with me, everyone. Hold out your hand. Offer every part of yourself to him. Let me do that. Let me see you do that. Offer yourself to him. Will you do that? Will you let your life, the parts of your body, be offered to the glory of God. The do not hear leads to a do. Don't let sin reign and therefore do. Look at the next thing. Do offer yourself to God. And so what I take from this is whether we like it or not, we are offering ourselves either to God or to wickedness. There's no neutral ground. I think we deceive ourselves into thinking it doesn't really matter. But your life is either offered to God or it's offered up to the enemy. There's no neutral here. Can I just say this, Christian? Sin is not your boss. The devil is not your boss. Stop acting like it, talking like it. Come to church, go away, be miserable to the waitress, tip badly. It's like, offer yourself to God all the time. Sin does not reign. That's the language of kingship. It was good for America to reject the kingship of another land. Amen? Here you go. This is the Brit saying that. You're supposed to, I was like, I'm the one saying it. And you're going like, yeah. It's like, it was good for America to reject the kingship of another land, of another country. To use a phrase from Hamilton, sorry about that if you didn't know what that was. But it was actually hilarious, but y'all didn't even know that. Anyway, it was good for America to reject the kingship of the land. But can I say, friend, we never reject the kingship of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we can sing that, but let me tell you what it looks like. We don't offer ourselves up to wickedness. We've counted that out, but we do offer ourselves up to God. Everyone say amen to that. Is that what you want to do? Offer yourself to Jesus? You want to do that? Three of us? Anybody else? Offer yourself to Jesus. I want to offer myself to Jesus. Jesus. Last thing I want to say is remember the why. Why do I offer myself to God? And why do I reject sin? It's back to where we started, verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The reason we offer ourselves to God is that we're alive to God. The reason that we don't offer ourselves up to sin is that we died to sin. Can I just say this? If you're a Christian, then one day, whether it's in death or whether it's the second coming of Jesus Christ, one day you're going to be with him forever and ever. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to know him. You're going to worship him forever and ever. I just want to remind you of heaven right now. Now, it may be that there's someone in this room who passes away before Jesus comes back. Amen. It could be all of us. Wouldn't you like to think that we could be the privileged generation who is present on this earth when we are raptured into the air? Wouldn't that be a glorious thing to imagine? And I'm sure that all the family groups, you'll want to be together holding hands as you go up together right now. Or there'll be some, no, not the family. I'm going to be the family. The music team, the tech team, they'll be sticking together, I'm telling you. They'll want to just check that all the lights are switched off in the building, and they'll be like a couple of minutes, couple of seconds later maybe. But no, the Bible says we'll be caught up and we shall meet him in the air. What a glorious thing to look forward to. Amen. Are you glad about that? That no matter what's going on in this world, no matter the mess, God's going to sort it all out in the twinkling of an eye.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to rate us and hit subscribe to hear more encouraging podcasts from New Hope Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at newhopebc.org.